welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. Today we continue our series on natural ways to deal with diabetes. My first guest is Dr. James Oshio Grosso, who is a natural health practitioner, master herbalist, and nutritional counselor. He is also author of the book, Your Prostate, Your Libido, Your Life, published by Glenbridge Publishing in 2007, and several other books. He works with several diabetic clients and with the combination of herbal and nutritional supplements as well as lifestyle changes. Most of them are maintaining a good blood sugar level. Dr. Oshio Grosso specializes in natural anti-aging and other male and female health issues and maintains an active practice helping men and women overcome hormonal and sexual issues associated with aging, including erectile dysfunction, lack of libido, PMS, and menopausal problems, and often acts as an advisor for men with prostate cancer whose doctors recommend a watchful wait or acute surveillance approach. Salivary home hormonal test kits as well as bioidentical hormonal creams are available at his website, where you can also sign up for his free Healthy Natural newsletter. More information is available at www.healthnaturallytoday.com or www.prostatehealthnaturally.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Jim, and I look forward to hearing how you, as a naturopathic physician, help clients with diabetes.
Hey, glad to be here.
Thank you. Now, first, as a natural health practitioner, what are the typical reasons that people with diabetes come to you?
Well, generally, a lot of people seem to be coming into my office lately because they're seeing the news about damage that certain diabetes drugs can do to you. Mm-hmm. And they've been told by their doctors that they can manage their diabetes with exercise and lifestyle changes, but nobody really tells them how to exercise or what lifestyle changes they should do. Mm-hmm. So they come to me, looking for a little natural help and with the thought of possibly getting off any medications they've been put on.
Great. Good. And do you use then a protocol of vitamins, minerals, and herbs to help the clients?
Yes, I do. Generally, I find that most people, I give them a nutritional deficiency questionnaire, and I typically find that most people have, several deficiencies, mineral deficiencies, and quite often vitamin deficiencies too. Mm-hmm. And the bulk of people that come in are taking some sort of a multivitamin, a one-a-day type multivitamin, which just doesn't do the job. But, my philosophy is any vitamin that you can simply take one pill per day is just not going to have enough of the nutrients you need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So generally what I do is I get them on a more comprehensive multivitamin with extra vitamin C, vitamin D, and vitamin E. Particularly with vitamin E, I use vitamin E, which is all 8 fractions of vitamin E.
Mm-hmm.
Most multis only give you the single fraction alpha tocopherol. And then some supplemental magnesium if they show a deficiency, possibly chromium. B complex is extremely important, especially if they've got the beginnings of diabetic neuropathy. And then we have a glucose support product, which is basically a bunch of herbs. It has gymnema sylvestri in it and fenugreek and a couple of other herbs that are pretty well known for helping to regulate blood sugar and reduce blood glucose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's not a single item that I do. It's kind of a balance. I look at the person and see where they need the most support, because
mm-hmm.
a lot of people are very reluctant to get off their one or two pill a day that the doctor gave them,
mm-hmm.
and now suddenly be on supplements where they might have to take 10 or 12 pills a day.
Mm-hmm. So you do have people coming then on prescribed medications from their doctors?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we have had several that have managed to get off the prescribed medications
right.
using
mm-hmm.
the herbals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, the problem there is that most people who are newly diagnosed with diabetes, they want to control the disease with lifestyle changes, but mm-hmm. most of them are unsuccessful because they don't really know what to change. They don't really know how to eat.
Right.
And they don't get this information from their medical doctors.
Are your clients primarily aware of side effects of the medications they're taking before they come?
Some are, some aren't. There's been a lot of news, a lot of things that have come out in local newspapers about certain drugs that the FDA has just recently jumped on, and Vandia is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when they see these, of course, the media always blow these things way up, way out of proportion, but they start seeing these reports of Vandia causing or increasing the risk of a heart attack or heart failure, and they start getting pretty nervous.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them are just totally unaware. They just, you know, they figure, okay, well, maybe I can do this by natural means, maybe not. And a lot of them are totally comfortable taking the medications.
Mm-hmm.
I don't try and talk them out of taking the medications because that would be beyond mm-hmm. the scope of my practice. But what I try to do is, you know, make them aware of the side effects. And if they want to get off the medications, they, you know, I'll work with their doctor and help them get off it.
Mm-hmm. I would wonder if a lot of them don't want to initially anyhow, because otherwise they would have just stayed with their doctor taking the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So it would seem like probably many of them want to get off, and that's why they come to you instead of continuing on with the drugs they're taking.
Well, I think in a lot of cases, what happens is they suddenly start experiencing, you know, the minute they get onto the drugs, they start experiencing problems that they didn't have before.
Mm-hmm.
We have libido problems, especially men, libido problems, erectile dysfunction, stuff like that, that they never experienced before, had a very minor problem before, and now suddenly on when they get onto a diabetes drug, it suddenly becomes much more pronounced, and right away they want to get off it.
And what do you do then for the men that have the erectile dysfunction?
Well, we have several different herbal combinations that we use, and basically what I try to do is increase their blood circulation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, men worry a lot about their hormone levels.
Mm-hmm.
Testosterone obviously is on every man's mind,
mm-hmm.
but testosterone is a big player as far as libido, and it's a big player as far as just general overall health for both men and women, primarily for men. But a low testosterone level does not necessarily cause erectile dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the contributors, but it's not usually the primary cause. The primary cause is more typically circulation problems. And, of course, the body doesn't discriminate when it starts clogging arteries. It doesn't specifically aim at clogging arteries, specifically in the penis, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
If it's clogging arteries, if arteries are clogged, they're clogged throughout the whole body.
Mm-hmm.
So usually symptoms like erectile dysfunction are the first symptoms of cardiac insufficiencies.
Mm-hmm. Do you talk with them, I assume you do, about nutrition and exercise and lifestyle changes?
Oh, yeah. Generally try and go through their entire dietary regimen to see how they're eating and try and single out specific kinds of foods that they're eating that may be contributing to their diabetes and get them onto a healthier lifestyle. And this involves teaching them basically how to go into a supermarket and how to read the labels and stay away from foods that are generally heavily refined, because this is what causes things like diabetes to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
I think the general consensus of opinion is you're partially genetically predisposed to diabetes, but you can be in that kind of a situation, and if you've got a good diet, you're not going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
My wife, for example, everybody in her family has diabetes except her.
Mm-hmm.
And she has been on a good diet for many, many years, and she takes her vitamins, basically.
Mm-hmm. Well, it used to be that if you were over 10 pounds at birth, you were more likely to have diabetes, but I don't know if that's still true or not. But I was over 10 pounds at birth, and I was pre-diabetic, but I never developed diabetes because I am very careful about my diet, and I exercise, and I took glucose tolerance factor chromium at the time, and I did what I thought was most helpful for me, and it seemed to work, so I don't have any problems with that now.
Yeah, I was a heavy baby too. I was 9.5 pounds, so I look through my wife's family, just about every member. She has several. She's got 7 siblings total,
mm-hmm.
and of the ones that are surviving, mm-hmm. They all have diabetes. They've all been diagnosed with diabetes. Her mother is a diabetic. She's still alive. Her father was a diabetic. Now, he was quite serious. You know, mm-hmm. he died relatively young mm-hmm. from diabetes, from the complications of diabetes.
Mm.
So, you know, you look through, even going back to the grandparents, diabetes was mm-hmm. an issue all the way through. So genetically, she's certainly predisposed to it, but she doesn't have it. She's managed to stay away from it.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Now, mother was diabetic, and so, again, you know, I had it in my family, but as I say, so far I've avoided it, so.
Quite often I'll see clients, and they've almost given up because they have a family history of it, and, you know, they kind of look at it, well, you know, everybody in my family has it, so I guess I'm going to have it too, but if you change your lifestyle, that's not necessarily true.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell us a little bit, like, if a patient comes in, then how often you see them and how long they stay with you and when you expect to find results, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, well, clients that come in to see me generally only come into my office maybe 2 or 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
But they stay my clients for for years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Usually what happens is I get them onto a protocol, and once we see that that's working, we may add to it or subtract from it. But once we've got it, got them going in the right direction, they don't really need to come back in for an office visit. They mm-hmm. just come by to pick up their supplies.
Mm-hmm.
But typically with herbals, things don't change instantly. They don't work as quickly as medications.
Mm-hmm.
So typically I always advise people that, you know, if they want to start looking to see results, then it's going to be at least a couple of months before they start seeing some solid results.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I try to address the whole situation all at once rather than, you know, specifically homing in and saying, well, this person's a diabetic and we have to get them on specific herbs that are only for diabetes. I try to get through their entire health mm-hmm. situation. Let's look at their triglyceride levels, which contributes to diabetes, and, you know, see if mm-hmm. we can get those down and see how their cholesterol levels are and, you know,
mm-hmm.
what their exercise profile looks like and how we can improve that, and lifestyle and eating habits.
Mm-hmm.
There's so
mm-hmm.
much to it, you know, but the people that listen get better.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people think that there's an inflammatory process of all illnesses. Do you subscribe to that? And if so, do you do anything about an anti-inflammatory diet?
Well, I don't specifically look towards an anti-inflammatory diet.
No.
Because basically, you know, the diet I try to steer people to is anti-inflammatory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I try to steer them away from processed foods as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, giving them a rule that if, you know, if it's not going to spoil in a couple of days, then you really don't want to eat it. Anything that can sit on the shelf for 6 months without rotting.
Right, right.
it's not, doesn't contain anything live. And it's not really providing any nutrients to your body. And that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with diabetes is that people are nutrient deficient.
Mm-hmm.
And this nutrient deficiency is what causes, I think, causes all diseases and
mm-hmm.
causes inflammation. I find people with heart problems, for example, they are so nutrient deficient, it's crazy. You know, and you get them onto a good, balanced nutrient program, which includes not just supplements, but includes good, you know, good food, changing their eating habits, and suddenly things like congestive heart failure start to get better.
Mm-hmm.
One lady whose ejection fraction was quite low, and getting her on some herbals and some nutrients, and basically a very, very simple program, just consisting of some magnesium and the herbs and hawthorn and ginkgo, some L-arginine, which is a common amino acid, and
mm-hmm.
getting her to change her diet. Her
mm-hmm.
ejection fraction went up from, I think it was about 30 when she started, up to about 50, which is a lot closer to normal.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting how taking some herbs will affect something that you're not taking them for. I have a prostate problem, which developed a couple of years ago, and I figure I was lucky to get to 76, 77 before it became a problem. But I take herbs for that, and recently the naturopathic physician added colostrum. And what I had discovered, I've taken colostrum for about 6 months. Well, this spring, I didn't have any seasonal allergies.
Yeah.
So apparently the colostrum was the trick. I mean, I'm sure the other things were helping too, but the colostrum, I guess it built up my immune system to the point where I don't have seasonal allergies this year.
Yeah, that's very, very common. I went through that just recently with a man about 65 years old that was encountering a lot of prostate problems, mm-hmm. and I got him on a basic nutritional program aimed at helping his prostate. And he comes back to me and he says, you know, I've had a problem. He's had a digestive problem mm-hmm. for something like 10 years that went away.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not something I was aiming to fix. I didn't even know he had the problem that he was discussing, but mm-hmm. it suddenly got better because of, he got onto the right nutrients, started feeding his body, and suddenly things got better.
Well, it's good. One thing I take for the prostate is nettle, and nettle is very good for your lungs.
Yeah.
So I find that I don't have very much phlegm anymore as a result of taking the nettle for my prostate. So.
Yeah. Well, almost every herb, when you say side effects of drugs are generally detrimental.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, herbs also have side effects, but those side effects is that they generally affect other body systems.
Mm-hmm.
But in almost all cases, they're positive.
That's great. Yeah,
so,
I never thought about that.
An herb like hawthorn, for example, is, and you just mentioned nettle. Nettle mm-hmm. is good for the prostate. It's also good for lung problems.
Mm-hmm.
Ginkgo biloba is good for the prostate. It's also good for circulation.
Mm-hmm.
It also tends to thin the blood a little, and it helps with memory problems.
Right, right.
So, it's got a broad spectrum of things that it's better. And I think that's basically because the human body needs nutrients from plants.
Mm-hmm.
Phytonutrients, and
mm-hmm.
it just doesn't get enough of them.
Mm-hmm.
And by taking certain herbs, you're putting those phytonutrients in your body, and the body just reacts to them very positively.
Mm-hmm. I had lung cancer 36 years ago and was given 6 months to live.
Wow.
So I used all natural, non-invasive interventions, including vitamin B17, and when you said, maybe your body needs some of these things, and periodically I go back and I'll go on maybe a month of taking 10, 15 of the kernels from the apricot,
mm-hmm.
and I'll eat those every day for maybe a month, and then I'll stop for maybe a year, then I'll pick them up again, because I feel like maybe my body needs that after I finished all my treatments 34 years ago. So
mm-hmm.
I do that periodically.
Yeah, it's amazing. The FDA is so down on that, it's unreal.
I know.
But then they're down on everything, a lot of other things that have some proven results. Not necessarily proven, according to them, but...
Right. Well, we both know why.
Yeah, obviously.
I'm finishing a book on natural treatments for lung cancer, and one of the physicians that has written a chapter for me is having fantastic results. And when I looked on the internet, someone had recommended him, and when I looked on the internet and saw that he had been in trouble with the Medical Association and the FDA, I thought, well, he must be doing something really great or they wouldn't have paid any attention.
Right.
And then I found out that he is having fantastic results, 5-year survivals that are way, way, way higher than with the traditional. So I figured, well, it makes sense that they would take off after him. And he told me, he said they couldn't do anything to me, but it cost me a lot of money. And so he said, if they can't get your license, then they go after your money.
Yeah, I've seen that happen with a couple of naturopaths in the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
They just literally harassed them so much with court fees and dragging them in and out of court. Cost them so much money, they finally shut their practices down.
And isn't it a shame?
Scary. That is scary.
With cancer, there was a treatment. I mean, there's been lots of successful treatments, but back in the 30s and 40s, Hoxsey was having much more success than anyone else, but he was harassed so much that even though the court set up a 10-panel board of physicians and they ruled that his treatment was superior and his success rate was much higher than the traditional, he was still harassed and he left the country and moved to Mexico. Mm-hmm. So it's a shame that this happens, but I think slowly we're moving to where people are more aware and are asking for some of the natural non-invasive. I think the naturopathic physicians, the cost of health care, and a lot of factors are pushing us in that direction, which I think is great.
Yeah, except that we gotta push the FDA off the stop there.
Right, right.
I mean, they're almost like, I don't know if you know this, heard of this guy, Jonathan Emort.
No, I don't know.
He's a Washington lawyer that's been suing the FDA about health claims, particularly for selenium. And he's won all the claims.
Oh, has he?
Yeah, he's won every time, but quite frequently the FDA just ignores the court rulings. But I think the latest that I heard just a few days ago is that the court came down pretty hard on the FDA.
Oh.
You know, they kind of ruled that they're ruling on, I believe it was selenium. Their wording of the claim that you can use for selenium just was totally out of the ballpark, because the claim that the people were using was something like selenium may help prevent things like colon cancer and mm-hmm. prostate cancer and breast mm-hmm. cancer. And the FDA came along and reworded that to the point of where, you know, well, we don't really believe it, basically is what they said.
But there has been research.
Yes, well, the court ruled in the favor of the nutritional supplement manufacturers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's basically come down to now, if you can back up a claim with solid science, the FDA is going to have a hard time challenging you on that. But so they won't challenge you legally, you know, they'll just harass you to death.
Right. Well, Dr. Brzezinski was another one in cancer care, and he sued the FDA and won.
Mm-hmm.
But again, he's put so much money into his own research and defending himself and everything else. But he's another fantastic physician in the cancer care field.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Jim, is there anything else you'd like to say before we look at your services, products, and your book and how the listeners can reach you?
No, that's pretty much it. The main thing I would tell people who have been newly diagnosed with diabetes is that you can reverse it, you can control it, you don't have to necessarily be on prescription drugs. There are many herbals and nutritional strategies that can manage your diabetes quite effectively.
Mm-hmm. Great. Then, Dr. Jim, would you tell us about your services, your products, and your book, and how the listeners can reach you?
Okay, the listeners can reach me via phone at 239-498-1547. I'll repeat that. It's 239-498-1547.
Mm-hmm.
They can reach me on the web at www.healthnaturallytoday.com. That's healthnaturallytoday.com, all one word.
Mm-hmm.
And my email address is Dr. Jim, DRJIM, at healthnaturallytoday.com.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, what I do is I specialize in natural anti-aging, a lot of male and female sexual issues. I maintain an active practice helping men and women mostly overcome hormonal and sexual issues associated with aging.
Mm-hmm.
I deal with a lot of people with heart problems, erectile dysfunction, lack of libido. A lot of women with PMS and menopausal problems. I have many herbal and nutritional products available on my website under the products tab, and I also do salivary hormone tests, as well as bioidentical hormone creams.
Could you tell us about the salivary test?
Yeah, the salivary hormone tests are are very easy to do. All they need to do is order the kit, and I need to know exactly what kind of a kit to send them. Mm-hmm. And basically, you know, depending on a male kit is different than a female kit, and postmenopausal and premenopausal are different.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, the kit's a small box, comes with a little saliva collection tube and some, you know, printed instructions, and all I have to do basically is fill the tube with saliva.
Mm-hmm.
Fill out their name and address on the paperwork, seal the box, and put it out for their postman. It's
mm-hmm.
a prepaid priority mail box, so it goes directly out to the lab, and the results come back via email to me, and then I send them either via email or via mail or via telephone, depending on what we agreed to prior,
mm-hmm.
send them out to my client. But lots of times, particularly with diabetics, I find that men typically have very low testosterone levels, and we have some herbal testosterone creams that can help build those testosterone levels back up, and
mm-hmm.
You know, we'll help with a guy that's having a bit of erectile dysfunction or loss of libido.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of saliva hormone testing,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and then trying to balance the hormones after that to get them back to a normal range.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Then can you tell us about your book?
Yes, the book is called Your Prostate, Your Libido, Your Life.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually my sixth book.
Mm.
It's the first book in the natural health area. Many of my other books were all written back many years ago before I decided I wanted to go into
mm-hmm.
natural health.
Mm-hmm.
When I was basically a computer programmer, I wrote several books about computer programming.
Mm-hmm.
But the book is quite comprehensive as far as going over the causes, both nutritional, herbal, and lifestyle, of prostate problems.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that's part one of the book. And part two of the book goes through the solutions for prostate problems, herbal and nutritional kind
mm-hmm.
of solutions, and lifestyle, of course, too.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the book is in two parts. Part one, explaining the causes of why these problems come about, and part two, what you can do to overcome them.
Mm-hmm. And this is available at Amazon and on your website?
Yeah, it's available on Amazon. It's also available directly from my website. They
mm-hmm.
can go to the healthnaturallytoday.com website and click on, when they get to that, the first page of the website, it has two buttons, male issues and female issues. If they click on male issues, and then they have a page that will let them order my book. They can
mm-hmm.
order the book directly from the website.
Mm-hmm.
And the book is $24.95, and that includes shipping
mm-hmm.
in the continental U.S.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I thank you very much, Dr. Jim. This has been very interesting, and I know it will be helpful to the listeners that want to use natural ways of dealing with their diabetes.
Oh, I certainly hope so. I got into this field because I wanted to help people, and I've helped a lot of people, and it's very satisfying when somebody calls you back a year after you've been working with them and says, boy, I'm so happy.
Do you get many people that give you feedback when they get better?
Yes. A lot of them are very happy. In fact, I recently had a client call me up. He had ordered some stuff,
mm-hmm.
and he's a local client. He ordered
mm-hmm.
some stuff and wanted to pick it up in the afternoon, and I have a little vestibule where I just leave the things out for people when they're picking them up.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, I want to come in and see you. I want to talk to you. And the reason he wanted to come in is because he wanted to show me his latest blood test compared to
mm-hmm.
the 8 months ago blood test,
mm-hmm.
Where his triglycerides dropped significantly, his cholesterol levels, you know, his total cholesterol went down, his LDL went down, his HDL went up. So he's a real happy camper.
Great. Yeah, good. Well, again, I thank you very much, Dr. Jim. It's been interesting. I appreciate
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I'm very pleased. It was a very nice interview. Thank you, Dr.
Thank
Alvey.
You. Uh-huh.
Great.
I invite you to join me in reading the new fall issue of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com. This issue, like the fall issue last year, focuses on inspirational cancer stories. Several children with leukemia were included, and one I especially liked was Christopher, age 9, who was described by his friends as the type of friend everyone would want: smart, loyal, brave, funny, and always a good sport. He was diagnosed with leukemia at age 3 and had a recurrence at age 8. Unfortunately, Christopher died. It is always a pleasure for me to read about Fran Dressler and Sharon Winters, who were also included in last year's fall issue. Fran has been cancer-free for 11 years and wrote Cancer Smancer about her survival. She also started the Cancer Smancer Movement and Foundation that emphasizes preventing cancer. Sharon Winters, another long-term cancer survivor, talked about the influence of the environment on cancer development and how to prevent it using information from her book, co-authored with Burton Goldberg, titled Survival, A Family Guide for Thriving in a Toxic World. For me, this book was the most comprehensive guide currently available. I was also interviewed for this issue, and you will find more about my story that is being published in a book on surviving lung cancer that will be available for purchase next year. Beyond the many interesting stories of cancer survivors and sufferers, I was interested in information on Farmageddon, about the war on American family farms, and another on local food movements, both which resonated with me. Also of interest was the interview with Peter Shankman, who is the founder of Harrow, Help a Reporter Out, the world's largest free source repertory. If you are looking for speakers, guests, for radio shows, conference, or whatever, or if interested in being considered as a speaker guest, this is the place to be. I have used the service and am very pleased with the results obtained. And last, a mention of the music of 2-time Grammy Award winner Jemmy Warnes. You will not want to miss these and other stories in the fall issue of A Distinctive Style magazine, available at www.adistinctivestyle.com. My second guest is Dwayne McCauley, who is an engineering graduate of Penn State University. He used his 30 years engineering experience to wean himself off insulin and other drugs. He uses a plant-based nutritional program and wrote a best-selling book titled Death to Diabetes. Recently, he completed a new book on juicing and a cookbook. Dwayne travels around the country conducting corporate wellness workshops and webinars to help diabetics in the United States and around the world. More information is available at www.deathtodiabetes.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dwayne, and I look forward to hearing how you resolve diabetes in your life after having a near-death experience from a diabetic coma. Now, first, can you tell me about that experience?
Yes. It's been about, 9 years now. I was just having some trouble with some medication I was taking. I had a physical, everything was fine. And one day I woke up and I couldn't move too well. Mm-hmm. And called 911, and next thing I knew, I was in a hospital. A couple days later, I woke up coming out of a coma. Mm-hmm. That's when I was told I had diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
So on a drug protocol of insulin, 4 shots a day, mm-hmm. a Coumadin, a blood thinner, and Lipitor to lower my cholesterol.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I had other complications such as a deep vein thrombosis. I had 2 major blood clot issues. And I also had hypertriglyceridemia. And my eyesight was failing. I was facing double amputation because of the blood flow issues with the deep vein thrombosis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And once I left the hospital 13 days later, the medication wasn't working, the insulin, the Coumadin, the Lipitor. I kept gaining weight and went on a raw food diet with my mother's help, my daughter's help. And within 30 days, my blood sugar had returned to normal. Within 90 days, I was off all medication.
Oh, very good.
And mm-hmm. the American Diabetes Association heard about my story because my blood sugar at the time I was in a hospital was 1,337.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they called me at work. As I mentioned to you, I work at Xerox as an engineer. And they said, Mr. McCulley, we heard your story, but we wanted to just get it verified. Was your blood sugar really 1,337? I said, yes, it was. They said, wow. Would you come down to the hospital and talk to our diabetic support group about your recovery? I said, yeah, sure. So I went down and talked to the support group. There were maybe 12 people. And they were all excited. I said, whoa, these people really have a lot of excitement here because I didn't think it was that big of a deal. And so I told them the story. And a couple months later, maybe 3 months later, I got a phone call asking me to come back to the diabetic support group to give the talk one more time. I said, okay, I'll do it one more time. So I went back to the hospital. And they had set us up in the auditorium. I didn't really know why. For 12 people, why do you need an auditorium? So I walk into the auditorium. There's 300 people. There's about 300 people in the room. Doctors, nurses, newspaper people, diabetics, non-diabetics, hospital staff. You know, I said, whoa. And so the head of the American Diabetes Association, the director, introduced me. And I said, okay, I can't believe that all these people are here to listen to my story. And so everybody said, yes, we are. I said, okay. So I told the story. And I said, I need to know, how did 300 people find out about my story? So this one lady stood up and said, I told my pastor. The pastor told the congregation. And another person said, yeah, I told a friend of mine. They told some of their friends, and it just spread like wildfire. They said, we've never heard of anyone with a 1,300 blood sugar surviving, and we've never heard anyone get off insulin. So we really want to understand how you did it. So I explained it.
But how long ago was this? Because
This has been now 9 years.
Right, yeah, because people more frequently get off insulin now if they are on it in the first place.
Yeah. But again, the average person just doesn't hear this. Once you're on insulin for life. That's the message. And that's the message that I was given. And so there was one of the doctors, he stood up and said, okay, Mr. McCulley, you can't tell people that you got off insulin because that's going to give people the false impression that they can get off insulin like you did. And so this gentleman in the back of the room stood up and said, well, I got off my insulin. I followed what this man ate. I did what he did, and I no longer take insulin. This other lady stood up and said, yeah. I started eating broccoli for breakfast just like he did. They reduced my medication. And the stories just went on and on and on. And so this other gentleman towards the front of the room said, "What? You know, you should write a book about diabetes." And I said, I don't think so. I got a good job working at Xerox. I make six figures. I don't have time to write a book. But my daughter and my mother, other people kept after me, other engineering friends who were also diabetic. They said, Duane, you really should write the book. So I wrote the book, Death to Diabetes. Didn't expect anyone would ever buy the book because I'm not a doctor. I'm an engineer. Who's going to buy a book written by an engineer?
Right.
Well, the company that published the book was a small publisher in South Carolina. And they said, Duane, it's a great book. It's the most thorough book I've ever seen written on diabetes. You really approach the disease from many different points of view. It's easy to understand. Your program is easy to implement. But we don't have the resources to market your book. So you wrote a good book, but no one's ever going to find out about it. So I said, wow, there's nothing you can do. They said, no, you'll have to, you know. So I started doing lectures and things like that. And 3 months later, this little company was bought out by Amazon. Amazon, they took the book. They say, we love this book. We love the cover. We love the title. Boom. It went on to the first page of Amazon.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Then, and again, I didn't realize the importance of any of this back then. This was 2005, 2006. And next thing I knew, checks were coming in the mail. I said, wow, okay, people are actually buying a book written by an engineer. And Then a couple other doctors called and said, would you come to our workshops? Would you come to our conference? I said, yeah, sure. They pay for you to fly there. I said, yeah, sure. And a couple of the conferences got videotaped. Next thing I knew, I was on YouTube, and they just kept, mm-hmm. you know, growing from there. And I
right.
kept running into
right.
more diabetics.
Mm-hmm.
No matter where I traveled, I just they're all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I think that diabetes is got to be one of the top epidemics around the world.
Mm-hmm. Now tell me, what are the three biggest mistakes that people with diabetes make?
The number one, most diabetics really don't believe they're going to end up with renal failure, blindness, or amputation. Because there's no pain with diabetes during the early years.
Mm-hmm.
And so people become comfortable living with diabetes. A lot of the books, they send out a message, a very subtle message, living with diabetes. Okay, that's a subtle message there that says you can't beat this,
mm-hmm.
but you can live with it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people live with the disease. They live with the complications, not expecting that they're ever going to get the complications. That's a mistake number one. Mistake number two, which could probably be mistake number one, is the belief in the drugs. I was on the drugs. The drugs don't work. Yes, they lower your blood sugar, but you're still diabetic. The metformin, the glucophage, the glucotrol, insulin, the drugs don't address the pathology of type 2 diabetes. And so, and one of the metaphors I use in my workshops is I tell people, if you took your car to the mechanic and the oil light was on and the engine was smoking, and you told the car mechanic to fix your car, and he cut the wire to the oil light so the oil light doesn't turn on, and he took a big blanket to cover up the engine so you don't see the smoke, and the mechanic says, I fixed your car. Now, everybody in my workshop laughs because they get it. They understand, wow, you didn't fix my car. You just covered up the symptoms. Well, the same thing happens when you go to the doctor. The doctor gives you a drug. The drug is like cutting the wire to the oil light. High blood sugar is a symptom of your disease. It's the oil light turning on, telling
mm-hmm.
you that your body's running hot.
Mm-hmm.
So when you take the drug, you turn off the oil light. You lower your blood sugar,
mm-hmm.
but you're still diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
And so people, they got that metaphor. They understood what I was saying, and they realized, wow, okay, once a diabetic, always a diabetic. Yeah, as long as you keep taking the drugs,
mm-hmm.
as long as you continue to cover up the symptoms, you will always be diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you decide to address the root causes of the diabetes. What's the pathology of this disease? What's actually happening at the cellular level? And without getting into a very long dissertation on pathology, biochemistry, I don't know, if you look at diabetes in terms of, looking at your cells, the cells in the human body become defective. They lose the ability to pull glucose in from the bloodstream because the cells are damaged. They're defective. So instead of drugging the body, instead feed the body what it's missing to initiate the repair process. The body is already designed by God, if you want to look at it from a spiritual perspective, that the body already has a built-in blueprint to heal itself. But when you acquire a disease, the body needs help. The body needs some key nutrients in order to initiate the repair process.
Mm-hmm.
And it so happens one of the most powerful foods in the world happens to be green vegetables,
mm-hmm.
bright colored vegetables,
mm-hmm.
happen to contain the missing nutrients that a diabetic's body does not have. And so if you look at diabetes from the standpoint of it being a disease of cellular starvation,
mm-hmm.
then you begin to nourish the body. You begin to feed the body what is missing. the vegetables, the broccoli, the Brussels sprouts, the spinach, the asparagus. You use that as the primary carbohydrate in terms of what I call the nutritional profile. Mm-hmm.
Now, what is the third, then, the third mistake that people
make? Third mistake that diabetics make, okay, beyond the belief in the drugs and the belief they're not going to face complications, let's see, one of the other mistakes that they make, they try to lose weight. I was that person because I was overweight. Most diabetics, not all, but most diabetics, somewhere around 77% of type 2 diabetics are overweight. The first thing the doctor tells you is to lose weight. Okay, that's insulting. Because anyone who's overweight, anyone who's fat, they already know they need to lose weight. They don't need to be told to lose weight. What they need, what they want, Carl, is how to lose the weight. No one tells you how to lose the weight. They just tell you, go lose weight. All right? And so what happens with most diabetics is they go on a calorie-restrictive diet. They go see some nutritionist or dietitian who can't spell diabetes, and they put them on a low-fat diet, a low-carb diet, a low-cholesterol diet. And none of these diets work. I was on a 1,600 calorie diet, and I was gaining weight. I was still gaining weight. That's when I realized, okay, something's wrong with diets. Calories in equal calories out is wrong. That's the wrong equation. And, of course, being an engineer, we believe in mathematics. We believe in numbers. We believe in the data. And so instead of testing my blood sugar 2 to 3 times a day, I tested my blood sugar 8 times a day, 9, 10 times a day. As a result, I collected a lot of data in a short period of time. I was able to correlate that data once I loaded it onto my laptop, did some profile analysis, built some bar charts and timeline charts. I saw the anomalies. And once you begin to see the anomalies, and once you begin measuring your blood sugar before meals, 2 hours post-meal, sometimes 1 hour post-meal just to get some additional data points, it didn't take long for me to see, wow, the foods that the dietitian wants me to eat is killing me. The dietitian didn't believe the data. And I said, I'm an engineer. I've been an engineer for 30 years in corporate America. You're going to tell me I don't know what I'm doing? and so got rid of the dietitian and just gradually moved towards a more plant-based nutritional profile and focused primarily on vegetables as my carbohydrate. Got rid of the grains. Grains are not what people think they are. They're not. If you're a diabetic, and this shocks people when I tell them this, stop eating oatmeal for breakfast, people. You're diabetic. Oatmeal fuels the disease. And people look at me like I'm crazy. I say, hey, you're still diabetic, aren't you? Try it. Try it for 7 days. Most people who try to program, boom, their blood sugar starts to return to normal. So the traditional breakfast of a grain-based breakfast is toxic, especially if you're diabetic or if you're overweight. So the carbohydrate becomes the vegetable in the morning instead of the grain, instead of the cereal, instead of the oatmeal, instead of the toast, okay? And the protein in the morning, the best protein in the morning, is organic eggs, okay? We were told to stop eating eggs because of the cholesterol. Cholesterol in food is not the same as the cholesterol in your body. 80% of the cholesterol in your body is produced by the liver. So, there's a myth about eggs being a problem when in fact eggs are not a problem. Another protein food in the morning, canned wild salmon, superior protein in the morning. Fat in the morning, tablespoon of extra virgin olive oil. You put that on the green vegetable. If you don't like raw then you lightly steam the vegetables. Don't kill them. Mm-hmm. Don't overcook the vegetables. And the liquid in the morning is 24 ounces of filtered water.
Mm-hmm.
So the basic protocol is carbohydrate, vegetable, protein, eggs or wild salmon, fat, the extra virgin olive oil, liquid, the filtered water.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to step up my program, then you add in raw juicing in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
That takes you to a whole nother level with the program.
Very interesting,
yes,
Dwayne, but we're getting near the end of our time. And so I wonder at this point then, can you tell us about your book and products that you have and how the business can reach you?
Yes, I've got over 30-some different books, starting with the Death to Diabetes book. Same name as the website, deathtodiabetes.com. And people, they don't even have to buy my book. Just go to the website, deathtodiabetes.com.
Mm-hmm.
The program is documented on the website. They can download it. Try the program first.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even have to buy the book. But after they try the program, they'll want the book. They'll want the cookbook. They'll want the juicing book and so forth and so on. So.
And your website?
www.deathtodiabetes.com.
Mm-hmm.
1-800-813-1927.
Mm-hmm.
Toll-free number.
Great. Good. Well, I appreciate this very much, Dwayne. It's been interesting and a different point of view.
All right. It's great talking to you, Carl.
Thank you, Dwayne.
And if you got some other topics you want to discuss, spirituality or nutritional science, pathology, you know, just give me a call.
Great. Thank you, Dwayne.
All right. Okay. Take care. Have a good day.
You too. If you have missed any of my past shows, I would like to invite you to my website, where you will find them all. My website is www.holistichealthshow.com, and you will find the shows under the blog. The shows include series on wellness, such as dreams and dream interpretation, weight loss, yoga and meditation, and visualization and affirmations, a series on cancer, one on arthritis, one on low back pain, one on seasonal allergies, one on faith, healing, and spirituality, and one on the Ascension of 2012. The current series is on diabetes. The series almost always include only non-invasive, natural ways to deal with the health concerns being discussed, and include interviews with naturopathic physicians, nurses, and other experts, and some people who have successfully dealt with these problems. The series will be found in the archives and may be easier to locate through a Google search connecting the specific disease process with the Holistic Health Show. When I have time, I will try to identify on the site which months covered which topics. I also invite you to sign up for my free monthly email newsletter and review items for sale under the shopping tab. These include ebooks and a CD on smoking cessation. In addition, my last book published in 2009, titled Healthy Holistic Aging, is also available and provides information on how to live into old age free of chronic illnesses and prescribed medications, as I have done. Currently, I am completing a book on alternative treatments for lung cancer that will be available next year on this site, and a CD on stress management and sleep that will be available within a couple months. I'm also available for lectures and workshops, and samples of these are identified on my website. If you have ideas for series for this show, I would like to hear from you at carlhelvey@cox.net. I thank you for joining me today. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, host of the Holistic Health Show, wishing you a great week.